Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel lesson, Gospel according to St. Luke, as well as from our second reading from Hebrews chapter 12. Well, last week I spoke about moving my son to Arizona. Well, there's more to the story. And so it's so fitting for our lessons for today. So listen in. After 2 days of, 17 hours of driving apiece, all right, 34 hours total, my son David and I, we arrived in Tempe, Arizona. Well, going from the East Coast there to Arizona there, there's a three-hour time difference. And so with that being the case, checked into the hotel. And so we knew then that, well, we could go to bed and wake up at our normal time and be refreshed. So we thought, well, that's good. We'll be able to do that. So we had plenty of time because couldn't get into his apartment until 9 o'clock in the morning. So first thing we did was that we went out to breakfast. And then since we were towing his car, we had to go drop the car carrier off at the place where we were going to drop off the truck later. And so we did that. And about that time, it was getting close to 9 o'clock in the morning, drove over to his apartment. Now, his apartment complex had one of those gates. You had to have a code to key in and whatnot. So, well, we didn't have a code yet because he wasn't checked into his apartment yet. So I parked on the outside and he went in so he could sign a few papers. Now, after about 15 minutes or so, I get this text. So, Dad, you're going to have to co-sign with me. Long story, but if you can, try to find a place to park somewhere in or outside the apartment complex and meet me in the office. Okay. So I'm thinking, all right, some special hoop that we need to go through here. No big deal. So I park the truck and go inside. Now, once I get inside, I find out what the real reason is why I need to come up. Come on in. Now, apparently, there was a change in management at the apartment complex. Now, my son had gotten online, filled out all the information in July. All right, sent his deposit in, got the confirmation, yes, you got the apartment, everything's set. Well, it changed August 1st, and there we are a couple weeks later. So we get in there and we find out that, well, the apartment complex, the new management, didn't have access to the old system. So what that means is that we find out here that, well, either the gal who got us all set up didn't know what she was doing, or she knew that her job was going to end as of August 1st, well, she went ahead and put him into a two-bedroom apartment, and we were only being charged for a one-bedroom. So we're thinking, okay, this is the new management here is trying to squeeze some more money out of us. So there we are. So with this being the case here, David has not done enough yet here as far as this new management was concerned, so he had to actually reapply to get into this apartment. And we wouldn't know if he's, going to get accepted or not until, quote, what was it here, middle to late in the afternoon. We're there at 9 o'clock. So here we are, after having driven 34 hours to get there, making sure we're getting ready to go move him into his new apartment, finding out that, well, he may have an apartment or he may not. And we're going to be the ones standing out there on the outside gnashing our teeth in the heat. Well, Jesus, in our gospel lesson today, well, quote, it's saying there that he's making his way toward Jerusalem. Well, in this part of Luke, we know that what that means is that Jesus is getting towards the end of his ministry. He knows he's going to Jerusalem and what's going to happen there, that he's going to die on the cross, and then 3 days later, he's going to rise from the grave alive. Now, with that being the case, and as he's going towards Jerusalem, he's stopping off, preaching in all kinds of towns, and he's getting all kinds of questions. And the question for today is, someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? Now, it's important to keep in context here all the conversation that Jesus has had with folks in the previous chapters here. You know, the people here were expecting an earthly kingdom, all right? They're wanting to see this new kingdom be established here, kingdom like David's or Solomon's. That's what they were expecting when the Messiah would come in. But yet Jesus here, though, he was saying, no, that's not the question. Because the people are always asking about other people and those kinds of things. And so the question for today was, it's like, well, you know, the people, there's just going to be a few who are going to be saved. Now, Jesus was constantly redirecting their attention off of other people, you know, those people, the sinners and the like, but rather towards themselves. You need to be focused on yourself, that you need to personally repent. Get your own house in order, so to speak. So let's listen to what Jesus has to say as he responds to that question. Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us, then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. And then you'll begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. And in that place there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. Well, Jesus says to strive to enter through the narrow door. Now, what's he talking about there? Is he talking about a physical door, you know, like a little tiny door, and you need to go through that? What's he talking about? Well, what this is a descriptive way for him talking here, because the narrow door is Jesus. And going through that narrow door means he's the way to get into heaven. Jesus is saying that you need to have faith in him in order to get into heaven. Now, people talk about how there are many paths to get into heaven. Not so. Jesus makes it very clear here that the only way into heaven is through the narrow door, through Jesus. So it's like when the apartment manager talked to us and the master of the house has risen and shut the door, it will be too late. What exactly is Jesus talking about here then? If you're not making it through the narrow door. With it being too late, he's talking about judgment day, the judgment day, and your own personal judgment day. Now, what am I talking about? And you go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it reads, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. Now, when you put these two together, it becomes a little bit clearer here. Here Jesus is saying the time to believe is now, not later. When the master of the house, God, closes the door, whether that be on judgment day or the day you die, the next thing that is going to happen is judgment. You go to heaven or you go to hell. You go through the narrow door. That means having faith in Jesus to get into heaven. That's what's going to happen. And if you don't go through the narrow door, you're going to be on the highway to hell. Many are going to say, well, we heard about you, Jesus, or I believe in God, I'm a good person. But if one does not have faith in Jesus, they're going to be left on the outside, will there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this is why Jesus said over and over again, repent, turn from your sins. Now, sometimes that is easy, and sometimes it is hard. And when it is difficult, like a parent, the Lord motivates us and disciplines us to change our behavior. Our second reading said it to us this way, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. The whole point of discipline is to correct behavior, to get us back on the right track. Because being on the wrong track could lead you away from God. And that's what is meant by the following verses in our lessons here from Hebrews. Strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. That last bit about Esau there. He was supposed to receive the blessing of God. But you recall he sold his birthright to his brother Jacob just for a bowl of soup. And because of that there, he's disregarding the blessing that God was going to give him as the firstborn, but instead he despised it. And here he had no chance to repent, even though he sought it with tears. Didn't have any time to change. And it's not having a chance to repent is precisely what Jesus is speaking about. Do not delay. You see, when they put our lectionary together, when I talk about that, that's the three scripture readings that we have every Sunday morning. They intentionally put this passage from Hebrews with the one from Luke. See, the point is this. Do not despise the Lord when he is trying to get your attention. He wants you to be in a relationship with him. Sometimes when he disciplines us, we hate it. We hate him for it. We blame him for our problems that we ourselves got ourselves into in the first place. We say, it's his fault. You should have stopped me, Lord. Really? But that's how it is. But here he says he disciplines us because he loves us. Now, how many of you, when you had friends that you were growing up with, that, or you saw it perhaps in your children's friends, where their parents didn't really give two hoots about them, right? They let them do all kinds of things that, if you were to do that, would have gotten you into huge trouble with your own parents. But with them, they didn't. How many of those kids ended up with messed up lives? You could tell that they didn't feel loved. They would do anything, good or bad, to get attention from their parents, but they were not receiving it. And then as you got older, you realized that your own parents were doing that because they truly loved you, even though it didn't feel that way at the time. Such is the Lord's discipline. He wants you to stay on the right path, to go through the narrow door. Now, going through that narrow door is what it felt like, quite frankly, for David and I that day. We hadn't heard anything. It was after lunchtime already, and I was bugging David. And it's like, hey, before it gets too late, I mean, we got to find out. You know, did you get in or not? Were you approved? So he calls up the guy back, and he goes, oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't call you back, but you are approved. But there's a couple other things that you need to do first. You know, really? What? He goes, well, you need to go out and buy some more insurance. We're like, renter's insurance? We've already got that. And they're like, no, you need to buy liability insurance, $100,000 worth. Now, liability insurance, that's like homeowner's insurance. And typically, the owner of the property buys that. Well, here in Arizona, they don't do that. They pass that on to the person who's renting. You had to do that. So we had to go find our insurance agent here, go buy $100,000 worth of liability insurance. Show proof of that before we can get the key. Then the other thing is, here it is late in the afternoon, it's like, oh, also before you get the key, you have to make sure the power's turned on. So you got to get the electrical company to come out and do that for you too. Really? Yeah. Well, we worked hard. Long story short, it sure felt like discipline when they're slapping us with these new rules that we didn't have to do before, but now we did. But 4:30 in the afternoon, we got all of that taken care of, got the insurance, got the electricity turned on, and there we did move in that 106 degree temperature that afternoon. Unloading the truck, that's what we did. Unloading our sins is why Jesus came to this earth. His rising from the grave gives us hope. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus shares something very important with us, that he is the narrow door, and that only by believing in him can we go through that narrow door. And when we do, where will we find ourselves to be? Well, as it says there in our scripture lesson today, we will be reclining at the Lord's table. That means we're in heaven. What a glorious day that will be. So enjoy that moment. Enjoy the time that we have here on this earth. Remember, if you feel the discipline of the Lord, he's just trying to get you back on the right track so that you'll always be on that right track, so that you will go through the narrow door. So do that. Share that with others so that they too may know who is the narrow door, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.